hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we kick off this hour with our legislative liaison in Tallahassee, at least for the state of Florida, if not the world. Bob Harris is on the line. Bob, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, you're there up in Tallahassee in the state capital of Florida making sure we're illegal or something. You're doing all kinds of crazy stuff up there.
You know, I tell them all the time, I have all these clients up here that I represent before the legislature, but my really only fun client is the scuba diving industry, and it is true.
It is. It's a fun industry for sure. All those other clients you have, they're just put you to sleep, I'm sure. So
it's boring stuff.
Yeah, but what you have to do, you got to keep some of those legislators informed on what's going on in the dive industry, so they don't screw us. Yeah, because
unfortunately, we're having so many younger legislators, and I've gotten approached by many of them who say they're active divers, and so to hear that we have someone up here in Tallahassee representing the interests of scuba diving in Florida and around the area is good for them to hear.
Yeah, it is, and every once in a while, these little issues pop up. We're going to get to one in just a bit that involves dive stores and the pools that they have or use for scuba diving. But before we get to that, let's talk about something a little bit more warm and fuzzy, and that's a new artificial reef site that's being created in Florida. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's the USS Mohawk, which is going to be sunk off the coast of Fort Myers. The local people down there have done a phenomenal job of getting the funds together and putting everything together and working with the veterans groups. I understand you've got as many as, I believe, 6,000 veterans have somehow been involved in the communication of getting this done and putting the Mohawk in the water as an artificial reef. And it's just been a great operation, very well done down there off the coast of Fort Myers.
Nice. Now, I know that's been sitting down there in Key West for some time, so it's in Fort Myers now. Do you know where they are in the process of this thing, or do you think it actually is going to make the end of June sinking date?
Yeah, my understanding, the last thing, and I talked to the man in charge, you know, the guy who did the Vandenberg and did a phenomenal job, Joe Weatherby, and his team of people advised me that they believe sink day will be June 29th, and we're going to do the same kind of thing that we did with the Vandenberg. They're going to have a VIP boat out there. We're trying to get as many people to come and to watch it as possible and see the sinking happen, just like we did with the Vandenberg, which was phenomenal. So Joe and his crew are hard at work trying to get it done, make sure they meet that sink day.
Yeah, you know, they got to watch when they send out the invitations to this. Come out to this VIP boat for a sinking. And,
right.
You know, people kind of get the wrong idea, I imagine, on the first.
Yeah, they just want to watch it from the shore with some binoculars.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as the site, I mean, do you know anything about where they're placing this thing in Fort Myers, or are you just dealing with more of the legislative
stuff?
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly how far it off, far offshore it's going to be, but one of the other things we're working with Joe on this, just like we did with the Vandenberg, is, you know, a key part of when we did the Ships to Reef program, the legislation that was passed back in 2008 and 2009, was we're trying to add to each one of these ships a landside memorial to commemorate the veterans who served on this on the vessels that are being sunk, like we're working on with the Vandenberg and with the Oriskany and now with the Mohawk. We want to make this a regular part part of it. So we're trying to see if we can get some funding out of the state of Florida to help the local people with that. But just a great way to say thank you and for the service of the veterans who served on that vessel, which, by the way, I understand the Mohawk was, according to Mr. Weatherby, was the vessel that actually relayed the message for the initiation of D-Day. So it has a significant role in the U.S. Military history of the United States.
Very nice. And Joe is a big-time diver. Matter of fact, he's involved in this Rec Racing League thing, these underwater scooter races they're doing. So he may just be placing a new racetrack.
That's fine. And I have to do that someday, by the way, Greg. I have not done that, and I keep telling myself I need to go participate in one of those races.
Yeah, I tell you what, they are a blast. And we've already been recruited to, provide our Scuba Radio mermaids as, like, flag girls. I don't know what the heck they want to use.
I did see some video on that. It was good.
Yes, so we may have to participate that and, do some more of that stuff down there in Fort Myers.
Good.
So
awesome.
We got the Mohawk at the end of June. That's great news. Let's talk about this other issue. Now, you were at this meeting in Pompano Beach a couple weeks ago, and you're giving an update, a legislative update for members of DEMA, and you were talking about one of the issues that you've been dealing with is something that affects dive stores, and this is kind of industry stuff, but I think this is the kind of thing that every diver needs to understand, that your local dive store has to deal with these crazy issues like this. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, one of the things that's been, when the revisions were made to the Americans with Disabilities Act some time ago, one of the things that was in there was a requirement that for pools that they have the ability to allow the facilities in place, the lifting devices in place, for disabled individuals who want to go in the pool. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Sure.
The difficulty has been over a period of time, there's been some question about how and under what circumstances it applies. For example, what is a public pool and what is not. As you know, many dive stores have pools where they do their own training. Some they're from a facility, some place, a little bit distance from the dive store. Some they have their own pool. So the question has always been, do these requirements apply? So one of the things DEMA has done on behalf of its membership, which has been great, is to get involved in the discussion. And most recently they submitted, based upon the input from a lot of DEMA members and dive stores that were going to be impacted by this, to try to get a little bit more understanding and clarification about how it applied, but also most importantly to get an extension of when these regulations were going to go into effect. They were supposed to originally go into effect approximately about now, and then they were extended to, the push was to get it extended until September, but actually a decision was made less than a couple weeks ago, to extend the deadline until January 31st, 2013. So that's when these requirements will go into effect again, to give some people some additional time to get this done, and also to provide some additional clarification, hopefully, under what circumstances the Act applies. So it's been a good thing, and I appreciate very much DEMA taking a great, strong position on behalf of its membership on this issue.
Yeah, well, it's a financial hardship for sure for the dive stores, and if they have to, install these devices or whatever, is it for pre-existing dive pools as well as future construction or what?
Yeah, it's for existing facilities as well as future. But the question has always been, for example, as you know, the scuba diving industry has a great partner in so many ways with organizations to help, like veterans, disabled veterans and other groups, disabled divers organizations. And so it's always been on the forefront for the diving community to make sure that we do everything we can to include the disabled community within the diving activity, because it's such an important part of their development. And so we've always been on the forefront of that. But the only question is, under what circumstances do these requirements apply, and when? When you're talking about a training pool that may not actually be accessible to the public, but only to the people that are there diving. And so, again, fortunately, we've worked together with those groups, and we're glad that this extension was made to give people some additional time to put those things into effect and to get some clarification.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those things where the intentions were well meant, but...
Yes.
But it kind of went further than obviously some of the dive stores that could be affected. And what would happen is potentially the dive store would have to just shut down their pool service. They wouldn't be able to do it, which would everybody would get screwed in that process, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if this extension was not granted, I think by the, I mean, basically by now, these facilities were expected to be into place, and you probably would have seen efforts to close down some pools completely. They were not in compliance, and again, it is a significant cost. And I understand, being, you know, formerly spending part of my time on a wheelchair, I understand the value of these things and the importance of them and so forth. But it's just from a timing point of view and a clarification about when and how it applied, I think that this time period of extension will be very helpful to many people.
Well, absolutely. And you know, the dive industry does things with the Handicapped Scuba Association, folks with special needs, wounded warriors, yep. Those type of things. Yep. So we already have programs in place to deal with that type of thing. It's just yep. One of those things where it seems like Big Brother's getting in a little bit over his head when it comes to pools that us divers have to use, right? And that's
very
why we
well
got...
Said. Well,
we, and, well, thank you. And that's why we got Bob Harris up there in Tallahassee, at least keep an eye on those folks. All right, thanks for the update, Bob. We appreciate it, my friend.
Not a problem, Greg. Thank you.
Hey, coming up, we got to have faith, and I'll explain next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yes, I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith.
Yes, we all have to have faith, especially if it's Mermaid Faith from California. She is on Scuba Radio right now. Faith, how are you?
I'm good.
So, we got your own little theme song now. You've moved up the mermaid food chain. That's a good thing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got a theme song?
Yeah, you got a theme song, your own Faith Mermaid Faith theme song. You didn't know George Michael wrote that about you, did you?
No.
Well, there you go. See, we're just expanding your horizons, opening up new adventures for you, and now you have your own song. But Mermaid Faith, that's you know, we met her there and at the Long Beach show a few weeks ago. I haven't had her out on a dive trip yet, but you're ready to go, aren't you?
Yep, I'm so ready.
Yeah, have you been doing any diving out there since we saw you in Long Beach, maybe
no,
in California?
No, I wanna, but the diving is so cold.
The diving is just too chilly for you. Now, we went out there and dove.
I'm a small girl, you know that, so.
That's true. Yeah. She is dinky.
Oh, hey, can you get me one of those heated rash guards?
Heated rash guards? Wait, you know what? We'll see what we can do, Faith. If I come out there and do any diving in California, I can guarantee I'm going to have one with me. So I'll bring an extra. Okay? Is that a deal?
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. There
cool.
you go.
Thank
so.
You.
We'll see if we can't make that happen. But, yeah, so you're a warm water wuss. Yeah, actually,
yes.
She's so tiny.
Like you.
Well, I'm a warm water wuss, but I have a little bit of insulation. You're like dinky. You're like, Barbie doll size. You don't have anything to keep you warm. Has that always been a problem for you or no?
Not until I got here.
Yeah, so in China... or Thailand, or I don't know, where is it that you got certified initially or started diving?
I got certified in Thailand.
Yeah.
And
the water's nice and warm there, or what?
Yep. Warm water. You don't even, I still wore a shorty, but some guys don't even wear a wetsuit at all.
Really?
Yeah.
They like to go a la natural, like Bill the producer or something like that. Is that what you're saying? Maybe I need to send Bill over there. He'd fit in better. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Maybe.
Well, you haven't seen him. Trust me. I don't think that would be a good cultural exchange. You hear what I'm saying? But Faith, okay, so the water's warm over there in Thailand where you got certified before you came to the States. And they certified you to dive, what were you telling me, like 10 years ago? That's when you got certified back in Thailand? Is that it? Thereabouts?
That was like 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago.
Yeah,
okay.
My first dive was like more than 10 years ago back in China. But,
But that was
certified later on.
Okay, so in China, that was before you were certified as a diver.
Yeah,
got it. So the water where you grew up in China, was that water warm as well, or what?
We have places that have warm water still, but where I'm from is nowhere near the ocean, so we have to go to other places for diving.
Yeah. Now, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but what do you dive with, in Thailand and in China? Are like koi fish in little koi ponds? That's just wrong. I know that's wrong. So what do they have as far as dive sites in that part of the world?
Actually, in Indo-Pacific, I personally never dove in the Caribbean. But as far as I know, the number of fish species in Indo-Pacific is like 8 to 10 times than those in the Caribbean.
Yes. Oh, okay. So it's similar to like Fiji and those that type of diversity.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
And the corals are just so amazing. And I think, if I'm right, all of the coral reefs in the Caribbean put together would just cover the Great Barrier Reef.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to check into that. I've heard a few different things like that before. But, depending on where you go, there's always something to see. Whether it's the Caribbean or the Pacific, you can get in arguments which place is better, blah, 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 or more diverse. But, let's just focus on where you got certified in Thailand. What kind of dive sites did they take you to when you got certified as a open water scuba diver then?
Depends on where you go. There are many, mostly we do boat diving there. They take you out on the boat.
Right.
The diving is really cheap there. And the servers are great. The servers is great.
Okay, wait. What did you say? It's chipper? What did you say?
Yeah, the diving is cheap. It's, you can't get around.
The diving is cheap. Okay, I got it. I was like, it's chip. What? It's cheap. Yeah, cheap.
Sorry.
Cheap. I gotcha. All right, yeah, lost in translation. I got it. Okay, so it's very economical to dive there is what you're saying. Right. So, but what kind of critters would you see on some of these sites? Are we talking big animals, a lot of little stuff, just a lot of color, or what?
Everything.
Just everything, huh?
There are dive sites you can go where you're guaranteed to see stuff like whale sharks, thresher sharks,
Wow.
And then there's giant clam. I don't know if they have it in the Caribbean.
Yeah, we don't have the giant clam in the Caribbean, I don't think. No, but I've seen them in Fiji, out there in the Pacific, and in that mm-hmm. kind of place. So say I have all this exotic marine life, and you got to experience some of that. So have you haven't done much diving in California since you've just relocated from overseas there to California in the last year or so. So you haven't really kind of been able to compare the two, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So
the diving is just really different.
It's totally different. That's right. It's not necessarily better. It's just different. And in the case of California, it's colder, and you just have to find ways to deal with that. However, we had the scuba chef on earlier, and he was in Catalina Island last week, and he said the water temp was like 70. That's almost acceptable. That's almost up to levels of warm water wuss, barely. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it just depends on when you go. So maybe it's getting to that time of year where you can give that diving off the coast of California a shot, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and Sport Chalet is who you work with out there in California, right? Are you still diving with them or helping them out a little bit?
I'm diving with them, but I'm not working with them at the moment.
Yeah, you're just kind of in between dives or dive stores, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Got it. So where do you want to go? Do you want to go back home and do some diving, or you want to expand your horizons into the Caribbean or something like that? Go down to the Keys or the Bahamas?
Everywhere.
It doesn't matter. As long as you get wet, you'll be happy.
Yes.
See,
exactly.
That, you definitely have the mentality of a mermaid. You hear what I'm saying there, Faith? Did
yep.
Did you feel it? Did you feel when we were out there that, you know, after meeting these guys, they're a little bit whacked? But yeah, I definitely fit the mold of a scuba radio mermaid. You did feel that. I kind of saw it in your eyes. I think you're absorbing the energy of that. You think?
Yep.
You're feeling it. All right. So we just got to throw her in a mermaid tail, and in the water, she'll be happy. That's all it takes. All right. Mermaid Faith. You heard her here first, and maybe last. I don't know. More coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, and on the line, Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver Pool. Dave, where are you this week, my friend?
I'm down here in Chicago, the Windy City, at the first inaugural in-water boat show.
In-water boat show. Now, it's warm enough where it would be actually outside, right?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's mid-80s. It's sunny. We're all working on our tans. And the pool's crazy.
Very nice. Yeah, actually, there's a really nice waterfront there in Chicago. So they got a nice little water event going on this weekend. So you got people there trying out the Be a Diver Pool and experiencing diving for the first time, possibly. That's the whole key, right, or whole idea.
They're coming into the boat show looking at boats. Of course, they're water people and signing up to try the scuba introduction here, playing around in the Be a Diver Pool. It's a gorgeous day.
Right. Now, is this the beginning of the summer season for you? Are you on a like massive road trip now, Chicago, and then where to or what?
Well, I'm here in Chicago this weekend working with the Scuba Systems and dive right in, go home for to the 4th, and then I hit the big road trip, New York, Salt Lake City, San Diego, Northern California, South Dakota.
So, and if you go to beadiver.com, you can check out where Dave's going to be with the Be a Diver Pool. And if, is there anything they can do in advance if they know you're coming to an event that they're, planning on attending? Is there anything they can do in advance to help expedite the process of getting a shot to jump in the pool there, Dave, or what?
Bring your own swimsuit. I mean, basically the water's really warm. You know, you don't really need a wetsuit, but if you get your swimsuit, you can get in line right away.
There you go. Otherwise, you can go in their little mini dressing room, and you'll hook them up with something to wear or put them in a wetsuit so they don't have to go a la natural and offend everybody in the area, right?
That's right. You know, and we're taking underwater pictures. They can download that, go to the you know, or beadiver.com and get that from our website and learn about maybe diving in Bonaire and, of course, the local diving in the Great Lakes.
Yes. Are you planning to take in any of that while you're there?
This week, Great Lakes aren't going to work out. Busy weekend, but when I'm home the next couple of weeks, I figure I'd head up to Door County, do some fun diving, get the old dry suit back out for a couple of days, and later this year, maybe I think I'd head down to Bonaire with our Wounded Warrior group.
Well, look at that. See, he didn't say no, which is what I would have said because I'm a warm water wuss, but he's Big Wave Dave. He's up for anything. Okay, it's beadiver.com. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Will you stop? The fun of a place like this is getting germs on your elbows.
I don't understand why anyone would want to come to a dive like this.
You say dive like it's a bad word. Look around. People are having fun. It's a dive, Bree. Dive in.
It's a skin.
Silence. We are going underwater.
That's what it feels like when you come up for air. When you come up for air, you feel brand new. When you come up for air, look at when you come up for air. That's what it feels like when you come up for air. Look at when you come up for air, you feel brand new. When you come up for air, look at when you come up for air.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, on the line with me right now is Jeff Tarode from South Florida Diving Headquarters. That's, you may know him as under that name, but most people know him as Captain Cocktail. He is on Scuba Radio. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, ho, don't you know?
Yes.
What's going on, Greg?
Doing our thing as usual. I know you got a lot of diving going on down there in South Florida. And,
yeah, before we get into that, let me just say that I'd heard about one of our fallen Scuba Radio buddy Scott, and I just want to offer my condolences to you guys and to his family at this point.
Yeah, well, thank you. And as we said earlier, next week we're going to do a special broadcast, and Scott's memory ought to be quite colorful, just knowing the life
great,
he lived, for sure.
Great guy, man. That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we're focused on different things right now. The show must go on, Jeff, so let's just do just that and talk about the diving there in Fort Lauderdale. Pompano Beach is where you're located, and I know the water is definitely nice and warm for us warm water wusses, is it not?
No more wetsuits. Oh, man, even the locals are peeling their suits off. We got 90-degree temperature down here, warm water, and, man, the weather is gorgeous. The seas are flat. We actually have west winds today, believe it or not.
And west winds are good winds because they flatten off any potential seas, right?
Yeah, definitely. Dive Master Tritone yourself would know that, right?
Yeah, exactly. You would think. You would think. But I'm getting it. You know, I'm covering some of this stuff in my flight training as well now. So these west winds are good for flying as well.
Yeah, for takeoff.
Yeah, exactly. You fly right into the wind, it makes things much easier. But I digress. But so the water is nice and warm. Everybody in Fort Lauderdale's losing their wetsuits, and if you've been down to Fort Lauderdale, you'd like to see a lot of people lose their wetsuits, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink.
Hubba, hubba.
Yeah, that's right. Papa likes. Okay.
That reminds me of Booba Radio.
It does. Good times. So
we actually saw a manta ray, too, the other day in 30 feet of water.
Are you kidding me? Really?
I am not kidding you. You remember where you and I saw the time we were testing out those
scooters. That's right. Matter of fact,
same area.
Last week on the show, Jeff, I was doing a little story on my most memorable dive. I've been asked to write an article on that topic, and that was one of the dives I brought up, is a time when we were in Fort Lauderdale on some scooters, not really expecting anything, and lo and behold, it was kind of a baby manta that swam through our group. I was like, I can't believe it. It's a manta. You never see those things, or you don't hear about people seeing them off the coast of Florida for sure. So how big was this manta sighting that you had, what, this week or last week or what?
It was last week. It was about 6 to 7 foot wingspan on it.
Nice.
So not a giant manta, but definitely almost an adult. It was a great sighting by these folks. I mean, you don't, like you said, you don't expect to see that. But we do see him certain times of the year, but it's just hit and miss.
Yeah. Did he hang around with a group of divers, or was he just swimming through, or what?
No, he's just kind of casually swimming through. They weren't as lucky as we were. You remember the one we saw came back around and was swimming with us for a few minutes.
Well, it may be because we had these scooters, so we were cruising at a nice little clip there, and we're able to kind of hang with it for a while. So that was kind of nice. But
that's true. But
that's the beautiful thing about diving there in South Florida. You never know what you might see. It's
you
the love of the draw.
And
so it could be a manta one day, dolphin another day, or just a typical day of nurse sharks, groupers, and God knows what else. Lobsters, for sure. So,
a lot of people don't associate a metropolitan area like this with that, but you got to remember, we're in deep water in less than 5 minutes when we come out of the inlet. So its proximity is so close to the Gulf Stream and deep water. I mean, you get all sorts of things at different times of the year.
Yeah, it really is an interesting place because you do have the best fun things to do in Fort Lauderdale topside and some things probably that you shouldn't do, but at least they're available to you.
Yep, and casinos and everything else. Boy, we've got it all now.
They got
buggy rides, you name it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then you go right off offshore and have some great diving. So it's a fun place to visit. And, of course, South Florida Diving Headquarters is one of the places you can go there in Pompano Beach, just north of downtown Fort Lauderdale, and they'll take you out to the Aqua Zoo or God knows what else sites.
All sorts, wrecks, reefs, you name it.
You got it all, don't you, Captain Cocktail?
And we got something new coming up, too.
Yeah, well, what's that? What are you doing?
At the end of the month, on the 23rd, which is Saturday, we're going to do something that, to my knowledge, has never been done before.
Okay.
We're going to do a underwater poker run.
Ooh, okay. You've piqued my interest. Explain.
I knew it would. It's right up your alley. we're gonna do a series of wrecks on two different dives, and you drift from one wreck to the other. And on each wreck, there'll be a person on the bottom that will give you a playing card, and you'll actually pick a playing card out of a deck, and you'll get five cards in total over the two dives, and the best poker hand wins all sorts of prizes. And we're right now working on a yet to be named casino in South Florida on getting involved with it as well, and maybe getting some free play as well.
Oh man, I love this. All right, so they go down to the dive site, and you're talking about a couple wrecks, and so maybe you'll have a card girl hanging out on the bow of the wreck or something, and
they have
to swim up and pick a card from the deck or from her deck. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, so, and then they go to the next site and do the same thing and get a hand of five cards, and the best five-card hand wins some big prize or whatever. Is that the idea?
Five-card poker hand, exactly.
Oh, I love this.
Promote navigation, because you got to be able to navigate in between the different sites where the cards are being held. So,
well, who do you have as your card girls? Because maybe we can... Maybe we can get,
you should mention that.
Yeah, let's get our Scuba Radio mermaids. I bet I could rope them into something like this.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I'm sitting on a deck of a wreck, and you have to come and pull something from their deck.
From a mermaid.
Yes. Yeah, they could be the mermaid card, Scuba Radio mermaid card girls. I love this.
That's it.
Is awesome.
That's it.
So, right. So you're planning to do that at the end of the month, end of June.
End of June, on the Saturday the 23rd is our scheduled time right now.
Okay.
We'll have a few more details will be up in the next day or so as soon as we finalize everything, but I'll be sure to get them to you. You can get them up on Scuba Radio.
All right, so we just have to get five mermaids able to, and ready to help us out. That sounds like a winner. We could do this.
Well,
I think we can make this happen.
Or you could get in a mermaid outfit either way.
You want people to attend this event, right, Jeff?
Well, that's true. What am I thinking?
I know what you're thinking. But
why does everybody have four cards?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Well, maybe, you know, it sounds like we could put Bill down there. Maybe that could be.
There you go.
He we got a new picture of him up at the scubaradio.com website. And he looks much better in a mermaid tail than I ever could or would want to be. Yeah.
Tell me it's not so.
It's right there for your eyes, buddy. And I know as soon as I hang up with you, you're going to go right there and start drooling right over that picture, my friend. I know you.
I may have nightmares.
Just talking about it gives a lot of people nightmares. I know.
The image is not conjuring for me.
That's the truth. All right, so they'll be able to go to what? SouthFloridaDiving.com, and it'll be up there soon?
Yeah, it'll be under the events section as soon as we have it finalized, which give us a couple of days. We'll have all the details out, and you can go to SouthFloridaDiving.com event, and then...
First annual poker run, or poker first dive.
First annual poker run, that's what we're going to call it.
Okay.
And you can swim it, you can scooter it, you can do however you want to do it.
Okay, so yeah, you could even open it up to free divers then, I guess, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can do it.
I like it. I like it. And then you do have one of those underwater wreck racing league races or something coming up soon too, right?
Oh, yeah, the Gold Coast Grand Prix returns July 22nd, the weekend of July 22nd. So we're going to ramp that up again and get all the scooter racers or NASCAR wannabe guys out there, bang some paint again. So
yes.
Definitely, whether you're a diver, snorkeler, doesn't matter. It's in shallow water. You can watch it from the surface, or you can participate in it, or you can just be a spectator on the bottom.
Yeah. You kind of wonder, how does Jeff come up with all these crazy, wacky underwater ideas? Well, did I mention his nickname is Captain Cocktail?
That ought to
explain it right there, right? You got to love the way this guy thinks.
Rum hallucination.
Nice. All right. SouthFloridaDiving.com or 1-800-771-DIVE. More coming up.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry, and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
I'm not actually the diver, I'm the pump man. I have a friend who does the diving.
Is your friend experienced?
Oh, he's been underwater half his life. He used to be a lifeguard in a car wash.
So dive, 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 when you twist it up inside. Don't come up to fill your cup or you make it to the other side. Dive, 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 let your conscience be your guide. Life's a mess and there's too much stress. You gotta take it all in stride. Just dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and Here's an old friend of the show, and I ran into him at the Rebreather 3 conference a few weeks ago, and we talked off the air, but we haven't had a chance to share some of those thoughts on the air, and I thought, hey, today is as good a day as any. Alex Brilski pretty much wrote the book on diving. The Recreational Encyclopedia of Diving Medicine. I don't know, what was that title again of that book I had to learn in Dive Master class?
I don't remember. You're talking about the Encyclopedia of Recreational Diving.
Yes.
I had something to do with that years ago.
Years ago, he basically, well, he wrote the book on diving. Let's just leave it at that. And he also does, amongst many, many big things for the dive industry, he works with Dive Training Magazine. And you were there kind of covering that event somewhat, right?
Absolutely, indeed. We haven't covered rebreathers in dive training for quite some time, and I was there kind of getting refreshed into the technology and just trying to see what's happened in that time.
Do you think this is the future? Kind of what we were hearing from a lot of those passionate folks from the rebreather community there a few weeks ago, or what, Alex?
Well, personally, I think the jury's still out, but I mean, there's certainly a possibility that this is the direction things could go. To be perfectly honest, up until very recently, rebreathers were, in my view, exclusively technical, you know, confined to the realm of technical diving. But I think a lot of the innovations that are coming on board, and particularly with the new push toward recreational rebreathers and defining what features they should have, I think you're going to see more and more people, you know, moving in that technology, at least those who can justify the cost, because you are looking at probably at least two, maybe three times what it would cost for an open circuit system.
Yeah, price is definitely going to be a factor initially. There's no question, or it still is. It has been for some time, and until that price comes down, I would have to agree with you on that. But as far as the benefits of a recreational rebreather, if we kept it down to the recreational limits, now, I mean, a lot of the talk there at the rebreather conference was these tech divers that are doing 300-foot dives and all this crazy stuff, and that may, you know, whether it catches on and becomes a bigger factor, you know, time will tell. But some of these units that are going to start hitting the market that are designed to just go down to 100 or 130 feet, it's going to be interesting to see how those are received, you think? I mean, I'm very intrigued by these units because the appeal of having no bubbles and being able to get closer to the fish and the critters and that kind of thing, that's pretty amazing when you experience it. And even just talking about it, I think, does pique a lot of diehard open circuit divers' interest, you think?
Right. It's certainly the answer to an underwater photographer's dream.
Yeah.
To interact with marine life without the nuisance and disturbance of bubbles. But aside from that, you have, for all intents and purposes, unlimited time, because you carry far, far more air on board than one could ever use probably during an entire day or weekend of diving.
Yeah.
And then there's the other issue that because with the decompression status being tied into the breathing loop and the microprocessor allowing the partial pressure of oxygen to be maximized, you really would get reduced decompression. So there are lots of benefits. Again, the downside, of course, is the ultimate benefit of our good old open circuit is when something went wrong, it gave you air, it free float.
Right.
With rebreathers, that's not the case. They can do some pretty nasty things without you even realizing it. So you really have to pay attention, be extremely well trained, and maintain a good your skills up to date with regard to their use. So it's like anything, you get some benefits, and in return there are some potential downsides. And if you really want the advantage of no bubbles and you're willing to pay the price and commit to the technical training necessary and to use the system, I think there's definitely a place for it.
Yeah, I got to say, from a manufacturing standpoint, the rebreathers are getting a lot of buzz, don't you think, from a tech, you know, just a technology standpoint? I mean, you know, obviously there's new dive computers coming out on the market and there's new BCs, but man, these rebreathers are like super technical supercomputer things. It's crazy some of the stuff they're putting on these units. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I'm not seeing the buzz surrounding like a new dive computer. What are you seeing in your world?
Well, I think it's they're certainly high tech. In fact, I think the better analogy to a rebreather is more like what astronauts would use in their extravehicular activities, more so than an open circuit system. In fact, what astronauts use is very, very similar to the design of rebreathers used in diving as well. So it's a very different animal. In fact, that I think we saw at the rebreather forum that there are advocates who feel that divers perhaps should be trained initially on a rebreather because they're so markedly distinct from open circuit systems.
Yeah,
that's a pretty controversial idea, but I think that it certainly deserves some discussion.
Yeah, well, I think it does. Jury's out. Time will tell. And but there is no question they look cool as hell. Who doesn't want to be an astronaut, right? Come on. Let's be real.
You have that right. That system that Poseidon had up there looked really, really slick.
Yeah, it was. It was good stuff. All right. Well, it keeps us on our toes. It's always fun to explore into these new worlds and new elements of what we love most, and that, of course, getting underwater and seeing all the stuff. And being a diver. Dr. Alex Berlsky, thank you so much. We'll look for an update, I guess, in a future edition of Dive Training Magazine, right?
Yeah, early next year we'll have a feature article kind of, you know, giving our readers kind of an update on the technology and where things are going.
Sounds good. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Remember, next week we got a special show for Single Scott. Don't miss it. It'll definitely be quite an event. I have no doubt about it. Till then, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.